Good morning, Rabbi Sai. We continue our search for who Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha Kohen Gadol was and when he lived. Charlie, out of interest, I'm beginning to think that the Asorah Harugim Malchus were more likely to have happened 60 or 70 years after the Chorban than during the Chorban. Well, let's have a look. We come across Rabbi Yishmael very often in the Gemara. We know every day we say Rabbi Yishmael Oimer. Yeah. Is a Mishnah, was a Braisa, and Rabbi Yishmael, Tana Davei Rabbi Yishmael, so he must have had a yeshiva, and there's Rabbi Yishmael Oimer, and Omer Rabbi Yishmael. There's Tanya Omer Rabbi Yishmael, which means that he was, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha there. Yeah? And we need to know as well who this Rabbi Yishmael was, and if he was, and the another clue that we have is as follows. Later on we will discover that when Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol was brought before the Roman governor, together with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and those two were in front of him. And the question is, who was to be executed first? Each of them said, I go first. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said, I deserve to be executed first because I am a Nossi ben Nossi. I'm a Nossi and I'm the son. I come from a family of Nossiim, I'm royalty. And Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol said that I deserve to go first because I am a Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Yishmael, that's in the Medrash of Eila Ezkero. So you know that Rabbi Yishmael was the son of a Kohen Gadol. Question was, who was his father? So here there's a very, very interesting the Medrash in the Eila Ezkero. But before we deal with that, let's have a look at a Rashi in Divrei Hayomim. We once discussed Bimei Matisyoa ben Kohen Gadol, ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So who was the Kohen Gadol here? Was it Matisyoa, the son of Yochanan, and Matisyoa was a Kohen Gadol? So I'm describing Matisyoa. Or was it Bimei Matisyoa ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol? So his father was Kohen Gadol, maybe Matisyoa wasn't.
Is it the Book of the Maccabees?
Or maybe they both were.
Talking about the Book of the Maccabees.
Yes. Yeah, talking about, yes, about Alanisim. Right, the story of Hanukkah. There we say, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But we don't know whether they were both Kohenim Gadolim, Matisyo and Yochanan, or Matisyo was the Kohen Gadol and Yochanan wasn't, or Yochanan was the Kohen Gadol and maybe Matisyo wasn't. Now, at the time when the Bnei Yisrael returned to Eretz Yisrael from Babel, at the end of, well, it was the first wave of the people who went down with the permission of Cyrus the Great, Koresh. Koresh gave permission for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash 52 years after Churban HaBayis. And the first wave of people went down then, together with Zerubbabel, and together with Yehoshua, who was called the Kohen Gadol, although at that time there was no Beis HaMikdash. But he was destined to be the Kohen Gadol, and he did in fact become the first Kohen Gadol of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, who was he? So he was the son of Yehoitzadok, and Yehoitzadok was the son of Saroya. Saroya was the last Kohen Gadol of the first Beis HaMikdash. Yehoshua was the first Kohen Gadol in the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question is, what about Yehoitzadok himself? In other words, Yehoshua's father, who was in between Saroya and Yehoshua. Was he a Kohen Gadol? Was there another Kohen Gadol in the Bais Rishon after Saroya called Yehoitzadok? So it says as follows. It says, Rashi says, this is in Divrei Hayomim. It says, V'Yehoitzadok holach b'haglois Hashem es Yehuda v'Yishloim b'yad Nebuchadnezzar. That Yehoitzadok went into Golus. Yehoitzadok went into Golus. At the time when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he went into Golus. In fact, it says he went in earlier, at the first Golus, together with Yichonio. Says Rashi. Rashi says there, this is in Divrei Hayomim, Aleph, Perek Hei, Posuk Mem Aleph, the last Posuk in the chapter. Says Rashi, Oma Shekosu B'Sefer Chagai. Chagai also mentions Yehoshua, the first Kohen Gadol of the new Beis HaMikdash, and he says, Yehoshua ben Yehoitzadok HaKohen HaGadol. Now, does that mean that Yehoshua was the Kohen Gadol and he was the son of Yehoitzadok? Or does it mean Yehoshua was the Kohen Gadol we know, ben Yehoitzadok Kohen Gadol, in which case Yehoitzadok, his father, was also a Kohen Gadol, the last one of the first Beis HaMikdash, after Saroya.
Rashi says that the father was the Kohen Gadol.
What? It says Yehoshua ben Yehoitzadok Hakoyin HaGodol. So who's the Hakoyin HaGodol? Yeshua or Yotzodok?
Yotzodok.
Why? That, maybe it means Yeshua the Hakoyin HaGodol, who was Ben Yotzodok.
You didn't say Yeshua HaGodol.
What?
You didn't say Yeshua HaGodol. You said Yeshua Ben Yotzodok.
If I say Pliny Ben, if you call up, yeah, you're calling up somebody to an Aliyah, and you say Pliny Ben Pliny HaKoyin.
Yeah.
Are you talking about his father or him? Probably, what? Pardon? Well, in that case, it's got to be both, okay? Right. In this case, by a Kohen Gadol, it doesn't necessarily have to be that both of them are Kohenim Gadolim. They were both Kohenim, for sure. Yeah? Anyway, so he says Rashi, although it says Yoshua ben Yoitzodok HaKohen HaGadol, Yoitzodok was never a Kohen Gadol, says Rashi. Yoshua, and Yeshua at that time wasn't a Kohen Gadol yet, but he was destined to become the next Kohen Gadol. Says Rashi, Loi Yoitzodok Shimesh Me'olam Bekuhuno Begadolo. He said Yoitzodok could not possibly have been the last Kohen Gadol in the first Beis Hamikdash. Why? Dahuglo LeBovel B'mei Yechonyo. Because he went into Bovel with the first exile, which was 11 years before Churban HaBayis. So he wasn't even around at the end of the Churban, just before Churban HaBayis. Kedichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yotzodok holach b'haglos, etc. Elo, Yoshua benoi hoyen Kohen Gadol, Yoshua's son was the Kohen Gadol, k'sha'olu b'bovel b'vai sheni, he was the first Kohen Gadol when they went up from Bovel to build the second Beis HaMikdash, yeah? And then he mentions that the brother of Yotzodok happened to be Ezra. Ezra HaSofer was the brother. He was also a Kohen. He was also a son of Saroya. And he didn't become the Kohen Gadol because Yeshua went down first. So he became the first Kohen Gadol of the rebuilt Beis HaMikdosh. Ezra only came down a few years later. I'm just trying to work out last night how many years later. But Ezra came down later, and therefore they already appointed Yoshua as the Kohen Gadol when he came down with Zerubbabel at the first wave of the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdosh. So now you've got as follows. We've got Rabbi Yishmoel, Ben, somebody, and he's a Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol. That we know from the Medrash. Now we've got to find out who his father was. Tomorrow.
Start of the Torah, Northwest London, Wednesday, Beis Tammuz, 10th of June. Admiral Renrav Zalman Rob Shlita, the Vaiditchka Rebbe, Vahi bin Saab, Part 2. This week's Torah has been sponsored in memory of Rabbi Shai Nochem Ben Rabbi Avram, Zifron Leroch of Gostchok, Ul Nishmas, our esteemed founder of Yosef Dov, Ben Rav Shimon Chol, Svi Itzmitz, Zifron Noli Vrachot.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Be'ez Hashem, today we will continue what we started 2 weeks ago, discussing the parasha Vayhi ben Sayaurin. Now you'll recall that the main theme was that we find the machlokes in the Gemara why there are the two nuns around the parasha Vayhi ben Saya, either because it's not b'mekoymoi, which means that it's a transplant from another parasha, or the mahalach that we've taken because it's considered to be a sefer b'fnei atzmoi. Unlike the traditional view that we have five sfurim, Bereishis, Shemois, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, in actuality, this Tana takes on and says, there's Bereishis, Shemois, Vayikru, there's Devarim as well, but Bamidbar is divided into three parts, everything till Vayivin Soya, Vayivin Soya on its own, and then the part after Vayivin Soya. And primarily, we spoke last time, how are these nuns written? Is it that the nuns which are in the words, Misoininim, Obin Soya, Obinuchoy, are turned around? Or is it as we write in this forum around? And if so, how do you write the nun? Is it a mirror image? Excuse me. is it written on its head? How does it come together? We touched upon the pshat. What does it mean that it's a sefer b'fnei atzmoi? In what way does it signify that it's a sefer on its own? But we only said the one pshat. Today we'll cover b'siyat d'shmaya of five mahalchim. We'll reiterate b'kitzah the first pshat, which was that sefer b'fnei ben soya is the sefer that should have been written if the Yidden would not have done the Averis. And this is very much connected to Pasha's Shlach and Korach this week. The rest of Bamidbar is the story of what actually happened. Vayhi ben Saya was a sefer which, what could have been, miraculously gone into Eretz Yisrael, avoiding all the strife that took part in the Midbar post the Pasha of Misoininim, the Meraglim, Korach, everything which died for the next 40 years. And Vayhi ben Saya is the story as it could have been. And we said that this is, in life, every person gets that choice. And which I didn't say, and I want to say today, is also that maybe this is perhaps the reason why the nun is hafuch, and we do it in the way of a mirror image. It's like a mirror to ourselves. It shows you this is what you could have been, but this is what you actually were. Because that's why Ben Soya. It's a mirror of what could have been. Now, I'd like to bring a raya to that. And the raya is as follows. It says, generally speaking, in the parasha of Masuris, it says like this. In other words, that the Oron travels within the camp as they travel. Whether we say Keteba or Kokoira, Kleisel traveled like a box or in a single file, regardless, the Oron was in the Machne. So why does it say in the Pusuk of Vayim Mitzrayim, in this parasha, Hashem it goes before them. So Rashi, it's an obvious question. And Rashi brings, according to the Sefri, it's a separate thing. This is not the Aron HaBris, which indeed, as per the parasha of Masuris, is only travels within the Machne. It's a separate Aron which goes with them when they go to war. What do you put inside of it? The Shiva Lichos lie within it. We'll come back to this theme later on, Bes Hashem. And this goes 3 days ahead. And this is Rashi the Shittus in Parshas Eikah, which says, says Rashi, that's a separate Aron, no Shachas Aron HaBris, which is made of wood but coated in gold. This is something else altogether. Okay. Ibn Ezra and others disagree with Rashi. Rashbam, Ababonel, Siporno. And they say, no, we can't say there was another Aron which went ahead. And they want to say, I'll call Ibn Ezra, but if Yidati, this was different. Hamas Harish and Levade, the first time they traveled, Lahoy Kasham Masuris. Generally speaking, indeed, the Aron traveled within the Machne itself. This time, not. But the question is, why? Why is this time different? So, I would like to look at two things, one from last week's parasha, one from Sefer Yeshua, to give us an indication. You remember the Mapilim, they go they say, no, we're going to go. We're getting up, we're traveling. This is not, we're not listening. And what does it say by them? The Oren stayed in the Machne. Why is this relevant? Point one. Point two is, it says, by Yeshua, he goes into Eretz Yisrael, 3 days pass, he commands the nation so, when you see Aron is traveling, you travel after them. Ah. So Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael was the same thing. When he went to war, the Aron traveled in front of the Machne. And the Mapilim, what was the sign that it's not going to succeed? The Aron didn't go in front of the Machne. So this teaches me, it says, that part of the siman that we know Vayibin Sayurim was a parsha, which was the way it should have been, is that in Vayibin Soya it says, otherwise that it says by us, that the Aron is always within the Machne, it traveled ahead of it. And this is the way it would have been. The Ness, the Aron goes ahead 3 days and sorts everything out for you. Because we were not Zoych, and we went to Tzisrael in a Tivizdik way, so ended up becoming that the Aron was always with Tacha Machne. The one time it went into Tzisrael with Yeshua, it went back to the original way it should have been all along. So within Vayibin Soya itself, in the way it describes the Machne going in front of Klal Yisrael, lies the kernel of the point that this Parsha, this Sefer, is the Sefer of what should have been, what could have been, but didn't end up happening. This is the first Pshat. And this was lost, and the Sefer only remains with two Psukim, because this is not something which ended up happening. In actuality, as we know, Klal Yisrael went to Bederech HaTeva, and that's it. Let's move now on to our second Pshat. So the second chapter is built around the fact that it says in Medrash Mishli, in Perek Vav, in Pasuk of Dalet, Vayi Ben Soya, it says like this, Bein Lamala Bein Lamata Nokud. It is indicated both in the beginning and in the end. Rabbi Omer, Sefer Hoy Befinit Atzmoy V'nignas. This is different words now. There was a Sefer, and it was put aside. So what was in the Sefer Nignas? Was a Pshat. So Kenzen Azoy. The Chidu writes, in Kisei Rachma, Masech HaSofrim, Perek Vav Halucha Aleph, he writes, Kozim HaKabudim, Shesayfa Vayim Soya, He Sayfa Gudel. It was a big Sefer, like the whole Torah. But the Zuchini were only Zechet, the two Psukim. Ikshetia Gula, when Mashiach will come, Nitzkele Kala Sefer will get the whole Sefer as well. Now, if this is, according to the first practice, doesn't make sense, because that never happened, this Mahalach of the Derech Nes. So what was inside? And remember that this also stems with the Pshat Maseches Yedaim. Maseches Yedaim, in Parei Gimel Mishnah Hai, says the Mishnah, Sefer Shenimchak, a sefer which you have which was erased. V'nishtar boi, but remain within it, 85 oisis. Now this means it was there and it was lost. And this goes mumustaba with the pshat which we're using now is that there was a bigger part of Ehim Soya, it only two psukim remained. Not like the first pshat, the only two psukim were ever written of this sefer. So what was inside of it? What I'm saying now, you all know this because you read this in the psukim, but we never pause to think about it. It says in the Shira, after Yidden passed the Nachal Arnon, Al kan Yomer b'Sefer Mechamas Hashem. So it says in Sefer Mechamas Hashem. What is Sefer Mechamas Hashem? Where is that Sefer? So the Bnei Zohar says, Sefer Mechamas Hashem, Sefer b'Fnei Atzmai. There was a Sefer called Mechamas Hashem. The words, I'll give you an example. Josephus wrote two books, Antiquities and Wars. The Wars of the Jews, the Antiquities of the Jews. Mechamas Hayidim, Kadmonius Hayidim. Kadmonius covers the history from the creation of the world until his time. And Mechamas is focused on the campaign of the Great Revolt in covering the year 67 to year 70 of the Romans, which he lived by, which he documented first being part of the revolt and then afterwards in the camp of Titus. The Book of the Wars. So too says the Ben Ezra, there is a Book of War. The Yituchin Shemim of Avraham. From the days of Avraham, every time a war occurred in the nation, first of the family of Avraham and then the nation of Klal Yisrael, was documented in the book. So therefore, in Sefer Bamidbar, what the Torah is telling us, there was a greater war happening with Sichon. The Torah doesn't bother to talk about it, but Yom B'chef Mechamas Hashem, in the book of Mechamas Hashem, in the war of God, there's more written about this. Klal Yisrael, from the point of Avraham onwards. Now remember, there's a lot to be said about this, and today is not the day. But, you know, of course, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, which is short, in Daf Tezayin. The Gemara talks about the process of canonization. Why was Shir Hashirim included in Tanakh and why not? And what was the process of that Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in the beginning of Baal Shani took into consideration? Now, in the Catholics in particular, they include in what they call the Bible, the Apocrypha, which is from Chitzonim, Ben Sira and Shoshana and others. Obviously, one is written Micha Kodesh, one is not. I'm just saying, from the perspective of a human perspective, the Gemara quotes Ben Sira several times, and the Mamurim and Ben Sira are not fundamentally different than what it says in Mishli. So, Achik Nesadar, with the tremendous Hatat Ishmael that they had and the remaining Nevi'im that they had, they would look at each Sefer and decide. Shir Hashirim was a borderline question. It's beyond our understanding. But they, with their Nevuah, were able to machir and say, this does belong part of the canon of the Kovod Dalet Sefer Kodesh. And the decision was made, the Mechamas Hashem is not part of it, and therefore lost. And he goes further and he says, Nasan wrote a cipher, and Ido wrote a cipher. The Divrei Yilamach Yisrael. There was different Sfarim written. They don't remain. The reason why the Kudal Tzum remain is because the Kedusha that we received, Klal Yisrael protected it with everything that we had. So we have it until this very day. Oh, clearly. Come again. Chodila. Remember, even Mechamas Hashem contained within itself some of what Hashem said and various stories. And the Torah says it's written Mechamas Hashem, so the Torah makes reference to it. And likewise, the Chizkini says the same. It says, by Yeshua, Mechamas Hamodeh, Ksoivs as the Kurma Zayim, from Moshe says to Yeshua, write down from memory in the book. What is the book? Sefer HaYedia, Sefer Mechamas Hashem, in the book of wars. And this is Moshe speaking by Nevuah. So, It's very difficult for us to sort of reconstruct it backwards. And indeed, your question stands. I don't know to what level. Clearly, I want to go further. Chazal tell us there were endless Nevuim, 48,000 perhaps. More. So why was only these Nevuim gathered? Shenichtav l'doros, things that apply for forever. And indeed, we believe therefore that every pasuk in Amos and Micha and Yoel is applicable to our very day today. Would it not be? It wouldn't be written. V'horai, there were real Nevuos of Hashem, not recorded. So the fact that it's not written, not recorded, is not mutually exclusive from the fact that it's Dvar Hashem. It could be completely Dvar Hashem, but it was only meant for that point in time. And I certainly believe when Moshe tells Yeshua, write down, by the mere fact that he uttered those words, that it's actually Nevuah. So this is the Sefer Mechamas Hashem. So I want to pause it. I can't say for certain. Vayibin Soya, by its very nature, is the cry of war. It is Nishtayer from Hamas Hashem. This is the two psukim which remained. As to why Hashem picked these two psukim, it's not for me to say. How can we? But if we're looking for the sefer, the big sefer, of which this is the Shirayim, for which we learn the Maseches Yudayim, the 85 psukim means it's already sefer Torah on its own, left from something greater and bigger, the sefer HaNignas, which we'll see when Mashiach will come, it's sefer Hamas Hashem. That famous sefer. And this perhaps is the tefillah which we still say till the very day today, the tefillah of the Muhammad. The story of the Muhammad is lost. Or Nignas. Not lost, Nignas. We don't have it. So that's Malach number two.
So picking up on his point then,
yes.
Vahi bin Sarah is man written rather than.
Chulila. What I'm saying is that Muhammad Hashem may have had many parts which are written by Hashem. And if you say Nignas means that it's written somewhere, maybe it's all written by Hashem, which is not Zechet to the Sefer at all.
But Moshe told Yeshua to write in it.
It is true, but keep in mind that many psukim of the Torah are written in a similar way. The parasha of Bilam didn't know that his words will be recorded in canon. As I'll touch upon this in a second, incidentally. So it divides that whatever Hashem said goes in. The third mahalach accordingly is, and this comes from the Sefer Torah for the Ri al Barzaloni. The Ri al Barzaloni is one of the very very early Rishonim from Spain, and he writes Nechas Sefer Torah in page 37 of his Sefer. That this sefer, Ma'im Soya, what was the original large sefer? We're going with this mahalach. There was a larger sefer. This remains. Nevuas Eldod Imaidod. Eldod Imaidod. So they came to the machane. They gave nevuah. What did they say? We don't know. What remains of the nevuah written in Torah is by Pasha Ma'im Soya. So you may ask. It says. Nachamul. Rashi says, yes, true, but. They shook up Klal Yisrael with the Nevuah, so what's the Pinga Zugavon? Vayim Soya Uren, it says Vayim Moshe. Why Vayim Moshe? So I want to touch upon a certain point. The Gemara says, in the same Gemara Babasa, which is a fascinating Gemara, perhaps at a different time, the Gemara says, Moshe Kusav Sifrei Pashas Bilam. Moshe wrote his Sefer, and he wrote Pashas Bilam. There are two interpretations for the Gemara. One is to say Pashas Bilam was a separate Sefer as well, of which is lost to us, and Moshe wrote the Pasha of Bilam as a separate Sefer. That's one explanation. The other one is, it refers, of course, to the Pasha of Bilam in the Torah. So I ask you, if it means it's the Pasha of Bilam in the Torah, why is it done separately? Moshe Kusav Pashas Bilam. So here's an explanation, a fascinating one, in my humble opinion. Moshe rewrote, so everything from Pashas Shmos onwards, Moshe wrote Mepi Hashem, what Hashem told him to write. It was written, and he sort of experienced it. What happened till Pashas Shmos, Moshe also wrote. Why did Moshe have to rewrite it if it was already in existence, a story? No, Moshe's Nevuah was unique to all Nevi'im, as Baklaya Meira. I don't know what that means. I use language from our language. You look at a picture sometimes, especially old digital pictures, they're grainy. And sometimes pictures are crystal clear. Higher definition, more pixels, the greater the picture is. If it's lower definition, you see it less clearly. The Nevuah of other Nevi'im is low def. You see it, but almost like through some sort of haze. Moshe's Nevuah, crystal clear. You know, today with AI tools, you can take an old picture, put it into ChatGPT, and you can, it's called upscale. And depending on the pictures, it does an amazing job. Old grainy pictures of grandparents. It's using AI tools, always asks itself, what should have been the pixel next to this one pixel, makes decisions, and the result, look at that picture, you can't believe how lifelike it is. Suddenly, it pops. When Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov spoke to Hashem, I can only say v'shtayt, the Nevuah was to a lesser darga than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had to rehear it from Hashem in high definition. He couldn't record it in the level that they received it, because the Torah is written at the highest definition possible. With one exception, Parshas Bilam. Bilam had the same quality. For all his faults, he was a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. So everything else he wrote by re-saying it, he reprocessed it, besides the Parshas Bilam. Parshas Bilam he wrote as it was said to Bilam. He just had to repeat it. It wasn't necessary to upscale Parshas Bilam at all. Elder Demayel had to be upscaled. The Nevuah was great. But if I had to come into the Pusik, it's Vayim Moshe. Moshe has to re-say it now. Because in as much as they got the Nevuah, it's not Vespatlai Ameira. So Moshe has to re-say it like he did for all the parts that turned to Pashas Shmos. Despite the fact it was said prior to that. But he had to rewrite it. Re-say it with the definition that he had, that no one did, before or after. Again, aside for Bidham. So this is our third pshat. There was a great sefer. The Nevuah of Elder Demayel. A Nevuah which shook up the whole Machne. Misnabim ba Machne. two psukim survive. That's the sefer. So says the Ri al Barzaloni. It brings us to our fourth mahalach. This mahalach was developed by Moshe Shapira. I'll share it with you. He once here in London spoke about it at length. It was amazing to hear it. And the kasha is like this. The whole Torah is written as a story of Klal Yisrael. The mitzvahs, the anhug of Klal Yisrael emerges from the history of Klal Yisrael, from creation until the point of the end of Be'ez Rishon. That's the Torah that we have. Kvitalat Sfurim cover that period. Megillas Esther is an example. We learn so much from it. Hashem's name is not mentioned. But it emerges from the story of Klal Yisrael. So I ask you a question now. If this is the way Torah is written, from the history of Klal Yisrael, this Hashem chooses to reveal himself in the world, so what's with everything that happened since then? Is it all to naught, for nothing? And all the nisim and the stories and everything which occurred, that's lost forever? And the answer is no, it's not lost. Tariq Kudish seems to indicate Ikisam being written in the big sefer, the sefer of Ahib and Soya. Every time we act and everything which our parents did is written in the sefer. When Mashiach will come, there'll be a new sefer covering the period from the beginning of Vayishani until our very day. And every pasuk will be like Megillas Esther. In within the story, with our actions and our deeds, will emerge over everything which we've done, everything which we experience as Klal Yisrael. Nothing goes to waste. It keeps on being written and written and written all the time. And Hashem will be revealed in that sefer like he gets revealed in all this forum, in all of it. And this is what Rashi talks about, the Shir Veluchos, because this is the part which is sort of broken, but nevertheless keeps on being repaired through our action. And this, of course, leads us to a very big question. If everything gets written, we must ask ourselves the question, when the sefer will be read, how are we going to feel? Are we going to cringe? Are we going to be delighted when the pasuk talks about us? And so-and-so said so-and-so and did so-and-so. Will we ask ourselves whether our actions are worthy of inclusion in that sefer Torah? And if the sefer gets written and we are not mentioned at all, because nothing in our life is worthy of going into the sefer of Ahib and Soya, how will we feel about that? We'll try to mish back and forth. Maybe somewhere else is mentioned, maybe by some reference. And that's a terrible thing. So we have the opportunity. We look at the Torah sort of codified at the end of Vayishani and that's it, but it's not so at all. Our story forms part of it. It's gonus. It is not seen. It's going to be revealed one day, but it's not hidden part of the Torah. That says that Vayi ben Soya is a story of our continued travels. Vayi ben Soya, now what happens onwards? We don't know, but we're writing it as we speak. So that is the fourth mahalach, which leads us to our fifth and final mahalach. And this is based upon the Chiddush of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says in the end of the Shalas of Chivis Beis Halevi, Chalik HaDrushim Drush Yudches. Chazal say, when Moshe broke the Luchos, Parchu HaKsuvim, it all flew away. We Magdim say that the Chassam Sofer, Drushas Chassam Sofer, in Daf Tezayin, in the second column, the Bamaschel, Balderech Zem. He says, the Torah tells us everything which Talmid Chum HaMechadesh is part of the Torah. It means literal. I'll explain what I mean to say about that in a moment. So, said the Beis Halevi, there's a Yerushalmi Yishkulim, and Arad Apam is Daf Kofayim with Aleph. Chananiya ben Achirib Shiyo Emir. But in Kol Dibber V'Dibber, between every Dibber on the Luchos, it says, Melum Tarshish, Kiyam Rabba, like an ocean. What's like an ocean? Oceans have large waves, but between wave and wave, there are small, tiny waves, you see, like in the ocean. Luchos was no different. Between every Dibber and Dibber, the Kavas, there was a lot written. There were footnotes on the Luchos. All the mitzvahs and all the chedushim, everything was written. The whole Torah Shabbat Peh was actually inscribed in the first Luchos. I guess the Chiddush. Part of the Luchos Hashoinus was the delineation which we have between Torah Shabbat Peh and Shabbat Ksav didn't exist. Everything was written there, like the waves, the larger waves, between the waves, the perushim, everything which comes along with it. And that's what it says, Mizeum Mizeum Ksuvim, was written all over the place. It's like fully written on every single space that you have. What is the raya? The Mur says in Gittin Daf Samach, Lekunis HaKadosh Baruch Yibrisim Yisrael, Eidu Shadun Shabbat Peh. The bris, the bond we have is the Dun Shabbat Peh. What's the raya? It says a pusik in Shmo Yisperg, Lamedalat Pusik of Zayin, Ki Apiyat Rumu Aile Kuryati Ischu Bris Ves Yisrael. These words, not what's written. But where does it say this pusik? But the lichos shnius, not by the first lichos. This is a pasuk which applies to the second lichos. In the first lichos, it didn't exist at all. And that's why in the first lechas we say, we dash in the Abish to give him Torah, Mikru, a Mitzvah, the Mishnah, Shekosafti, it's all there, Lamashim Sinai. That we say in the Pusik, Ishmael Skudal Yidbai, says the Gemara Bruchas Afai. It's all there. And it's only afterwards that we lost it. So when Chazal say that every single thing which the Talmud is going to be Mechadish ever was given to Moshe from Sinai, it was literal. The whole Torah Shabbat put down to this very generation, the words being spoken out, if they're true, were written on the first Lichas. All there. And only afterwards that was lost. And the Medrash of Shmoyis Rabbe in Perek Mamzayin Os Aleph. The Medrash says, when the Irish take the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, if I write it all down, good with the Lefuna, I know that it'll end up in gulas between the goyim, and I do not want the whole Torah to be given to them. Look what happens today. You see sometimes anti-Semites on YouTube standing there reading. It says this, Safaria did a tremendous work by making accessible Torah to everybody, but also to anti-Semites. And they start reading things that says about the goyim. Hear what they say about the Gentiles. It's a terrible thing. All the years Yidden was so choshesh from this, in all this forum, we self-censored, the Ragdum was saying all the goyim refers only to the old goyim, not to us. You have to be careful. My brother works in the Mechon Al Isaias, which is one of the premier in Mechonim for giving us forum. They print in China from time to time. They sent an English book to a Chinese printer, only to print. Note this, only to print. They got back a comment. On page 67, the footnote is something derogatory against China. We suggest you change it to Eastern nations, not specifically China. Something derogatory against the Chinese. Could you imagine? He showed it to me. Couldn't believe it. We live in a world of today that AI can do anything. So they scan the whole safer for any merchants of China. A printing press. That's what they do. Print and send back to the US. And they changed it. So the Abishter knew that. And he said, for that reason, I will not write the Torah Shabbat Peh. Let it be yours. But we see again, it's linked into the Golos. But when it was still in the Lochos of Shoinus, it didn't exist. These are the Oisius Porchos, which happened when the Lochos broke. All that was lost. It became Torah Shabbat Peh. No more written at all. And that's why covered the day Moshe, because Moshe felt so heavy, in the sense that, how do you keep a Torah Shabbat Chassav without a Torah Shabbat Peh, if it's lost? Of course, Hashem gave it back to us, Baal Peh, but not in writing. So, if this is so, perhaps Vayi B'Soya Uren is the Sefer which we keep on writing our own Chedushim. That's the Sefer where every Sefer written ever is going to be put in. We think that, you know, Torah Shabbat Chassav, as you mentioned before, there was a point you said, this is Kudosh and this is not. The same is happening as we speak too. Vayi B'Soya is the continuation of what used to be part of Luchos Yeshayinus. The Sefer HaNignas, every Chiddush gets written down there. Every good Gedank, every Mahalach. For the last 2,000 years, or more, almost 2,500 years, more and more is being written into it. This is the place which one day we'll see and say, you see, my Chiddush made it. It came part of the Torah itself. By having that, we are continuing to write the Sefer, not just with our actions as our previous pshat, but with the Torah that we say. Similar to the verb, the Kliyuko says, he writes here in Bamidbar, that if Vayi B'Soya is a Sefer B'fnei Atzmoi, what is the mitzvah of this Torah? And he says that the mitzvah is the mitzvah of Pru Irvu. That's the mitzvah of this parsha. Where it lies is specifically only one word. Rivavos Alpha Yisrael. That's the one place, the tens of thousands of Yidden. But I want to say that if it's about the Torah, it's the same Gedank. This is the Sefer which continues to give the evidence of our fruits, of what we keep on creating, the every generation, more and more and more and more, and the Chiv that continues to do so. And this captures all this. So we had five Mahalchem of what Vayi B'Soya is. Either Vayi B'Soya is the Sefer which could have been. The way that would have happened if Klal Yisrael did not sin in the Midbar, the parallel history, the alternative history, which would have happened. And this is seen by the fact that the Aron goes in front of them, as it only did when it came to Yeshua. Or our second pshat, Vayi B'Soya Uren, is the Sefer, which is Sefer HaNignaz. It contains within itself the parsha of the Nevuah that of Elder Amedot, which we had as the third pshat. The Nevuah of Elder Amedot, which was written but lost forever. Or is the Sefer Muhammad Hashem? Everything which happened in Klal Yisrael in the wars, which two psukim remain. Our fourth pshat is the continued history of Klal Yisrael. Everything which happened from Baal Shani onwards, which we never ever said before. Our fifth pshat is the Chiddush Torah. Like in Luchos HaShonis, which had all the Torah Shebaal Peh written, this work continues till to this very day. Not what we see, but the Ibn Soya is the Shirayim, the beginning, the opening chapter of a Sefer which we continue to write with every Chiddush ever written by any Talmud Chacham, which is Mechavan HaMikdash HaTorah. Yashar Koach.
Gentlemen, I've been asked to make an announcement by going to London.